Hello and welcome to the Relationship Matters podcast. From the boardroom to the living room, we believe relationship matters. Hello, I'm your host, Katie Churchman, and over the next two episodes, Faith Fuller and I are discussing ghosts. In part one, we're looking at ghost roles. Ghost roles are invisible third-party presences that come and go and impact the emotional field. A ghost role is present when something is clearly affecting the relationship, yet isn't talked about, and may not even be conscious to the people in the system. Ghosts arise from our experiences in previous relationships, both personal and professional. They may be people or they may be events, and they can both negatively and positively influence our lives. So here's Faith Fuller to tell you more about ghosts and how to work with them and potentially turn them into allies.
Season two, woohoo!
Season two, and I believe today we're kicking it off with ghosts.
Indeed, yeah. A nice juicy topic, I think. And when I was thinking about it, about ghosts, as you know, Katie, at CRR Global, we sort of hold that there are four dimensions or perspectives to relationship. And they are fundamentals, intelligence, geography, and path, which are also elucidated in the different courses that we do. And when I think about the dimensions, that you can think of them sort of like four walls to the house of relationship. Each wall is different and has a different side of the house, so to speak. And the topic we're going to talk about today is from the geography course. And I'm particularly fond of the geography course because it's all CRR Global's unique material in geography. And ghosts were borrowed to a certain degree from Arnie Mindell, but we have evolved them a long way in terms of how to work with ghosts. So, what are they? Well, first of all, ghosts come in two flavors. There are personal ghosts, which come from my own personal history, and they're happening in my primarily personal life. And then there are time spirits. And time spirits are like large cultural ghosts haunting an entire culture. So the ghost of racism is haunting the United States right now, or the ghost of 9/11. But today, we're going to talk about ghosts, and on the next podcast, we'll talk about cultural ghosts or time spirits. How's that sound?
That sounds great. It sounds like a big topic. So yeah, let's have a look at our personal ghosts. I'm keen to find out more about examples of these in your life, Faith.
Absolutely, yeah. So just to define them a little bit, a ghost is something that can't be seen, but which is haunting a relationship. So it's usually invisible, at least until it's revealed by somebody like a coach, but it's floating around having an impact on the emotional field generally. So they're always there, but we're often oblivious to them. They're often unconscious about the way we're being haunted by a ghost. I think of ghosts as being something that is like a mark left on our relationship due to some kind of past experience. So we all have ghosts. There isn't anybody who's lived any part of their life that doesn't have ghosts from things that have happened to them. But they're not good or bad. It's part of the normal brain function to hold on to memories of things that have happened to us because it's how we learn. So our brain physiology is actually designed to remember the place in the jungle where you saw the tiger because you need that information before you go back to the jungle. So in the same way, the brain holds on to important events or things or experiences that we have, and oftentimes they become a ghost. Some ghosts are literal. Like the ghost of your dead grandmother. Your grandmother is no longer alive, but your relationship with her is, in that you remember her, you think about her. Maybe she was a positive influence in your life, made you feel loved and like there wasn't anything you couldn't do in life. And that experience of your grandmother, and you may think about her from time to time, is a positive ghost. But then there are also negative ghosts. So a bad job interview can shake your confidence the next time you go back to do a similar kind of job interview. It's haunting you. That bad experience is haunting you a little bit in some way. So they can be personal, as we've mentioned, and one that we've nearly all adults have experienced is, for example, the ghost of the ex.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes you laugh. And why is that, Katie?
I mean, ghosts of boyfriend's past come to mind.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, ghosts of boyfriend's past, absolutely. And again, it can work both ways. For example, I've worked with many couples where the ghost of a really wonderful love in somebody's life has made it difficult for them to move past the memory of that to be present for the next relationship. And that's very painful for everybody. It's like they haven't let go of that big love enough to be available quite for anybody yet. And that's a ghost. Mm-hmm. And similarly, bad boyfriends or bad spouses that we've had, exes, we move into the next relationship tensed against having that happen to us again. So we're being haunted by that bad memory of something we experienced. But it's also true in professional relationships. I can't tell you how many teams I've worked with where there was the ghost of, say, the founder. Every company that where the founder retires has to cross the edge to who are we now, that the founder's influence and how they wanted it to be isn't there anymore. And there's a little bit of a identity crisis in the company as they move on to a new way of the next CEO, the next important person who will be shaping the history of that company, which is totally appropriate. That needs to happen. But often teams aren't aware that they're struggling with the ghost of how we used to do it is a ghost.
Yeah.
And who do we want to become next is the help that they need to move on from there. Also, not all ghosts, I think, are people. There is the ghost of a possible layoff that can be haunting a company. And I've worked with that many times with teams where there's all this stress in the organization because layoffs are likely going to be happening, you know, right around 2008 in the United States when we had the big recession. There were a lot of layoffs. We had to work through those layoffs emotionally. There was anticipatory fear that there could be another one. There was the guilt and pain and loss of the layoffs that had happened before. These are ghosts influencing professional lives. And again, this is normal. It's totally normal to have ghosts. It happens to all of us in every aspect of our life. So one of the first things that's important to realize is normalizing ghosts for clients and for ourselves, going, well, of course I have this ghost, is the first way to begin to work with it. And we'll talk more about that. So how's this landing for you? Is it making sense?
Yeah, it's making me think that they're normal, but if we're not conscious of them and we're not conscious of the relationship that we're having with them, then they could completely transform our experience of life. Like when you said about love,
yes.
If we've only known this one type of love through the lens of that ghost, then how can we explore something different?
Exactly. It becomes a filter over yes. our capacity to perceive.
Yeah.
Yep. Well said. Well said. And in terms of ghosts that maybe aren't people, I had a bad car accident about 5 years ago. And that's left ghosts, not too many for me, just because I don't remember the accident, but it left ghosts for Marita. For example, if, you know, back in the day when we would drive past the hospital where I was hospitalized, she would have an immediate impact of remembering that really, you know, traumatic experience for her, not even for me. So the mark. And similarly, if we go through a breakup, there is a really painful period of time of where everywhere you go, there's a memory of that person. And or your song comes on the radio and it takes you right back there. Those are ghosts. And it takes time for them to dissipate, even when you can see them, that they're still impacting us. So basically, we're walking around with a ghost filter on, which is impacting or coloring our experience of the world. And again, this is brain physiology. It's built into being human. Even our animals remember bad experiences and try to avoid them or are moved by good experiences. So let's talk a little bit about knowing that it's normal and that we all have them. how in the devil do we work with them?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Yeah, right. And normalizing is one of the first steps. If I can tell a team, of course you're reacting and remembering a bad experience that you had as a team with, I just worked that through with a team last year. They had one of the people that they had as their leaders was quite abusive. And we had to work through their memories of that abuse. They couldn't move on to, a new person until they had figured out what had happened. So normalizing that for them, saying, of course you're having that experience, helps everybody to settle down. They're not messed up because they're having that experience. It's normal, painful, but normal. And I guess one way to put that is that the short answer for how you work with ghosts is normalizing awareness and then creating a plan. So you cannot work with something you're not aware of. One of the big questions coaches have is, how do I sense there's a ghost? If I can't see it, and if people are unconscious about it and unaware of it, how do you ever find the darn thing? And I think as coaches, we learn, once we know the concept, we begin to develop spidey senses for when a ghost is present. And one of the spidey senses is, it's when you think you know what the issues are for a team or for a couple, but something feels off. You feel like there's a pall, an atmospheric, something's a smell in the air. And you don't quite know what it is, but sometimes you're less effective because of it. It's like there's a distraction or a bad smell in the air, and you don't know what that thing is. But once you get that sense, you can start to look for, well, what might be there in terms of ghosts? And one of the things you can look for is, does the field feel triggered or constricted around the topic? Is there something that we can't talk about? So, for example, in the situation with layoffs where I was working with a team, there was so much just sort of bad emotional field around layoffs. You know, it was a ghost. It was obvious in that case because there was a depressed atmosphere and a fear atmosphere. And it was pretty easy once we started talking about what that fear and depression atmosphere, and people immediately say, well, I don't know if I'm going to be laid off next, So once you can sense it, you can ask about it. It feels like this room is depressed, or I'm picking up a lot of fear right now around whatever issue. Or I'll pick it up in couples where one says, I'm sorry, but I feel like I don't really have a full husband. I feel like half of them is still with the dead spouse, and I'm constantly being compared. So if you can notice it, you can ask.
So do they tend to live in the emotional field, would you say?
Yes.
Okay.
That's a great question. In some ways, I think they always live in the emotional field.
Okay.
Yeah. They're an experience.
Right.
And an experience is usually emotional, not always. I've known people who get belly aches when a topic comes up on a team. They get a stomach ache. They somatize that anxiety. So I guess it could also be a body symptom. In some ways, that's what we call churn in an organization where people are leaving a lot. There's a lot of churn and you're not sure what it's about. There could be a ghost. I was working with an organization with a lot of churn, and it turned out that the issue that nobody was talking about was that one of their leaders there was a little bit of inappropriate touching and inappropriate sexual innuendo. And nobody was talking about it, but people left, the women left, over and over again. So churn can be another signal that a ghost is there. Usually it's not being talked about. If it's already being talked about, you're in great luck because you don't have to identify it. It's helpful. So once you've figured out there's a ghost and hopefully identified, part of the big issue is, where is this coming from? And often it's not what you were hired for. So the organization where I had to work with a situation where there was sexual innuendo going on, needless to say, they didn't hire me for that. It came out in the process of awkwardness and, then some private interviews where people could mention it to me and so on. So, but again, something was off. So once you've identified that there's something going on and you've normalized that, well, of course there's something going on, That's natural. And I just want to say, teams love hearing about ghosts, especially when you normalize it. They sort of feel like, oh, so we're not crazy that we're having this experience. And also it gives them a name for what they've been feeling. I often have difficulty with this tool or that tool with teams. I've never had a problem working with ghosts with teams. It's like, oh, that's what's happening. So it makes you feel like you're not crazy once a ghost is identified.
How interesting. Yeah. Do you think that has something to do with the pace of life in corporate life, how things just turn over so quickly? There's almost not the time to sit with what's happened and then process what will be.
Yes, that's a really good point. Often we're just moving on to the next thing we have to do. So there's been no emotional processing for what has happened. And that's an excellent suggestion, is that you have to sit down to process, especially the bigger it is, the more you have to allow time to process, or it will haunt the system in some way. I think another reason is we're not accustomed to talking about these things professionally.
Yeah.
That's beginning to change. But sometimes when I've talked with CEOs that I feel like there's a ghost around, say, the layoffs, it often makes CEOs nervous. It's like, oh my God, we're going to get into sticky emotional processes. And we don't do emotions here. We leave them at the door. But of course we don't leave them at the door. So that's another way that normalizing, saying, of course you have a ghost. Every team has lots of ghosts. It's not that, you know, it doesn't have to be that complicated to work with. Now, if it's sexual abuse, you bet, you know, but if it's just, you know, working through something painful that happened with the last client, it doesn't have to take weeks and weeks, but we have to talk about it. So that's the other thing, is that once we've identified it, it's been revealed, and we have to process it. Processing ghosts is like an exorcism. It allows them to dissolve, you know.
That's fantastic. I like it a lot.
Talking about ghosts, and especially doing what we call reifying them or making them a little bit more tangible, it makes them something we can then work with concretely rather than it just being this emotional feeling. So if we're working with a ghost, for example, I've worked with a family around the ghost of cancer. The mother had cancer. And of course, the whole family had to live with the ghost of, was she cured? Could she get it again? For her, every time she had a twinge of any kind, she would wonder, is this the cancer returning? You know, so it haunted, the whole family was haunted by the ghost of cancer. And it didn't feel safe for them initially to talk about. It was like, let's pretend it's done, or, you know, but it was still in the family. The kids were often anxious, and giving them permission, of course, cancer would haunt you and will continue to in some ways. Let's talk about it. So once you can talk about it and say, if cancer, what would it look like if there was an image of cancer and everybody had a different image? Or if layoffs were haunting this team, you could make it up. What would it look like, that thing, that haunting the team? And everybody makes, you know, it becomes a little more lighthearted. What would the ghost look like?
Yeah.
And so reifying it, making it something tangible. Would it have a smell? Does it have a sound? And people start to smile because they're moving into the creative a little bit more. And it gives them a way of working with it. And then after that, you want to talk about what is the impact of the ghost on this family, on this team. And sometimes people can just say, well, it makes me depressed, or it gives the kids permission to say, well, every time you go to the doctor, I wonder if there's some, are you going to die, mommy, is something that's never allowed to be said when they're working through a severe illness. And it has to be talked about. It's a ghost. But a great question to ask is, what would this family be like if there was no cancer? What would this team be like if you didn't have the ghost of the founder haunting you? What would happen next? That magical question makes the turn to remembering what it's like without the ghost. You go from the impact of the ghost to, if it wasn't there, and let's pull it out, let's take it aside and put it aside, let's pretend it isn't there. Now what would we be like? Because then we have choices of whether to go back to the way that it was or the way we would like it to be. So I don't want to make this sound glib and easy. It's a work in progress. It takes time to work through ghosts, but it is possible to do that. So there's one last thing that you want to do. We talked about identifying it, talking about it. And then you want to make a plan, because here's the thing about ghosts. As we just mentioned, some ghosts are easy. They go away easily. And some take years. And so a really important question is, once they've identified, how do we feel without the ghost? You know, if we could imagine it wasn't there, and how we might feel without it, and can we plan for working in that direction, then a really important question is, what will you do when the ghost comes back? Because it will. We can talk about how I don't want to have cancer rule my life anymore, and we work actively towards that. And it will periodically come back and haunt us a little bit. And then what will we do? We haven't been defeated. Ghosts just tend to come back around. So it's important for the team or the family to make a plan for how to be with a ghost. If it comes back, how will we work with it then? Let me give you a couple of examples about this. If possible, you can sometimes make a ghost an ally. So I worked with a client whose girlfriend was killed in the 9/11 airplane crashes. She was on one of the planes that hit the...
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, the towers. She was an air stewardess. And, you know, so we'd worked a lot through all of that with him when I was working with him. But ultimately, he ended up making the turn and he created a foundation in her name. That's an example of taking a horrible event and working it through, processing it until it became an ally, and he made something beautiful out of that death. Did that take away the pain of loss? No, but it gave it a meaning, and that's really helpful. I worked with a team, again, this is a death situation, where their team member died. It was a bizarre situation. He opened up, he was a large mammal study person, you know, in a national park in the United States. And he did a dissection of a mountain lion who had died. And he ended up dying in 3 days of pneumonic plague that the actual mountain lion had and died of.
Oh my gosh.
And when he opened her up, he breathed in all of this stuff. And of course, the local clinic isn't accustomed to diagnosing pneumonic plague. And he was dead before they figured it out. So this was a huge trauma. And again, we had to go and work with the team around their grief about how they could make that grief meaningful. So how do you make that event an ally to remind you about how you want to be as you move into the future? So that was a lot of talking.
It's fascinating. It makes me think of when you work with marginalized aspects of self, because you start to find the flip side and, you know, that who knows what's good or what's bad. And
yes.
With that cancer example, I was thinking, you know, maybe the cancer can become a reminder of how beautiful and finite this life is. You know, I don't know what they'll decide on, but I guess there's always something to be found, even in the most horrific of ghosts.
Yes. I love what you're saying. I think that there's a feeling of, okay, so here's a ghost of this really difficult thing. I am at choice whether to let the ghost totally bring me down and let it impact my life that way, or to choose a different road with it. And I don't, again, want to make it sound glib. There are things that happen to us that leave permanent scars, but we can also take that scar and say, what has it taught us? You know, and what can I teach others about that event?
What's interesting, when you talked about ghosts, it's made me realize that they're time stamps in the way that they're created, often by events, but they're also timeless. And yeah. Unless we work with them, they just end up sort of ruling our lives. They're in the driver's seat. Whereas if we recognize that they're there, we can then start to be present with them in the moment where our stomach starts to, you know, tighten, or we get sweaty or nervous. All those things, those physical sensations, they show that it's a timeless thing.
Absolutely. So we get signals from our stomach ache, or we get signals from our anxiousness that tell us there is something there. And so we can rely on our body often to signal us in some way that something's going on. And then we're a choice to how we want to work with it.
Yeah. And so we can either ignore it and say, oh, that's in the past, or we can start being with it in the present and decide what it looks like going forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think I have a fair few ghosts to work with, Faith, like everyone.
Like everyone. You bet.
The ally piece is really beautiful. So thank you for bringing that to my attention.
My pleasure. So those of you who might be listening, think about some of the ghosts that you may have, or your spouse may have, or your CEO may have, or your company, or your kids. Not a problem. Remember, it's normal. And now you have something to work with it.
Thank you so much, Faith.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to part one of Ghosts. My key takeaways for working with ghosts are as follows. Number one, awareness and education. We can't work with something that we're not aware of, so tune into the signals and signs that might be suggesting that a ghost is present. Number two, normalize ghosts. Normalizing helps the system to realize that there isn't something wrong with them. Ghosts are a normal and expected part of life. Number three, talk about the ghost and make a plan. What will you do when the ghost comes back? What is the plan for working with it ongoing? Join us next week for part two, in which we talk about time spirits, which are cultural ghosts. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you never miss an episode. And for more information, resources, and articles, check out crrglobal.com. From the boardroom to the living room, we believe relationship matters.